Yud Av, 2nd of August, Rabbi Jeremy Golka, From Golas to Gola, Part 2.
Good morning, everyone. Shus, Rabbi Gadil, former Rebbe. A fellow came up to me a few days ago and said, you're speaking, give me a shir. So I said, yes. So he said to me, he's very much looking forward to my shir. And before my ego could even start swelling, he said to me, he goes, because by the time you're saying your shir, Tisha B'Av is over. That's what he was looking forward to. I think he's actually alluding to something which we all struggle with, and that is to somehow connect to the themes of Tisha B'Av and to emerge from Tisha B'Av with something on a practical basis. So the aim today is to do exactly that, is to try and explore the day after Tisha B'Av, what we can take away from Tisha B'Av. And hopefully that will be a good segue, a good lead into the holiday period. The starting point is a pasuk and a Rashi in Parshas Vayechi. The pasuk says in Vayechi, Yaakov Avinu is about to bless his children before he takes leave of this world. The pasuk says in the first box, Vayikra Yaakov al bono vayome heyosu vagidelochem esa sheyikra eschem bachris hayomim. He's going to tell us what's going to be at the end of days, how Jewish history will unfold. And Rashi famously says, Bikesh legalos es haketz. That Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal the ketz, the end of time, when Moshiach is going to come. V'nistalka shechina hemenu. And the shechina departed from him. V'hizchil oimer dvarim acherim. And therefore he began to say other things. And the question that is asked is an obvious one. If you look through the narrative of the Psukim, it seems that there are no brachas. When you go through the first three sons, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, Reuven, he doesn't give him a bracha, he tells him off. He says to Reuven, Pachas kamay, you're impetuous. Lefi madrigosa. Shimon and Levi, he refers back to their violence, to misdemeanors that were carried out earlier. And to the extent, Rashi tells us, that when it comes to Yehuda's turn, he backs off. Daddy, if these are brachas, no thank you. And other shvatim, Yaakov Avinu compares to different animals. Where exactly is the bracha? And yet the pasuk says, Vayivarech Esav. It was clear that they were brachas. So how do you square that? Another problem is found in the Medrash. The Medrash says in Parshas Vayechi, if you look at the second box, the Medrash says, Omu b'Medrash, She'omi Yaakov l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ein b'bonai shum chet. There's no chet in my children, Ki ein b'echol mehem lo ches v'lo tes. There is no letter ches, and there's no letter tes, in all the names of the Shvatim. Omu l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Afal pikein, I still don't want you to reveal the kates. If you look carefully through the names of the Shvatim, you won't find the letter Kuf, and you won't find the letter Tzadi. So, the question is this. If the meaning of the lack of Ches and Tes in the names of the Shvatim indicates there's no Chet, there's no deficiency in the Shvatim, which at the time was the collective embodiment of the whole of Klal Yisrael, there's no lack, there's no deficiency. So what does it mean there's no Kuf and there's no Tzadi? That means there's no Kates, that Moshiach isn't going to come? What does that mean? That's the second question. A third question is another medrash. The medrash says that it gives a marshal. It gives a marshal to the whole scenario of Yaakov blessing his children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina, being there. It gives a marshal to a king. A king has a very loyal, faithful servant who is also about to depart from this world. And the servant brings in his own children and says to his children, he wants to release them, he wants to free them, and he wants to reveal all the secrets of the king. All of a sudden, the king suddenly appears, and out of embarrassment, he starts telling them different things. He starts telling them, his horu b'kvoid ha-malchus, have mechabdin ha-kodesh baruch k'shem sheh, ani mechabda kol yomai. Honor the king in the same way that I honored him in my lifetime. And the difficulty with this analogy in the Medrash is that first of all, the Medrash seems to imply that the Kates was not forgotten by Yaakov Avinu, but rather out of embarrassment or a different game plan, he changed his mind. So where do you see, what's the Nimsha, what's the Moshe, what's the Nimsha? He didn't forget the Kates, that's not the Pshat in the Medrash. And lastly, how do the brachas of Yaakov Avinu, how do they correspond to, in the Moshel, to an exhortation to obey and to honor the king? So four questions. Question number one is, how do you see the Yaakov Avinu actually blessed his children? Where do you see the pasuk? It says, Vayivarech Esom. If you look at the brachas, they don't seem to be brachas. The first three shvatim get told off. The other shvatim, some of them are compared to animals. Wherein lies the bracha? Second question is, what's pshat in the medrash with the ches and the tes? What does it mean if there's no ches and tes? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there's no kuf and tzadi. Does that mean if there's no deficiency in the names of the shvatim, so too there's no deficiency, there's no kuf tzadi, there's no kates? What does that mean? And lastly, the final medrash with the analogy of the king with the servant, what exactly does that mean? If the medrash seems to imply that the kates wasn't forgotten by Yaakov, you know, but he decided to change the plan. So what's pshat in that? And lastly, how do Yaakov Avinu's blessings, how do they compare to the exhortation to honor the king? Those are the four questions. These questions I've seen in the writings of Rabbi Lev, and I'm going to present to you his answer and to build on his answer. In short, he gives the following answer based on a Nefesh HaChaim. The Nefesh HaChaim quotes a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara says in Yuma Daf Chaf, I've got it there on the sheet, on the fourth box. The Gemara says, Tomer Rabbon, Daf Chaf Amadal, on the base. Sholosh Cholos, there are three voices. Holchin Misoifa Olam Vad Soifa, Ve'elohin, and the Gemara lists what the three voices are. And one of them is, Kol Neshama B'shasha Yitzah Min Aguf, the voice of the Neshama as it leaves the Guf. The Nefesh HaChaim explains, and it means the following. What does that mean, that there's a call, the Neshama lets out a cry as it leaves the guf? So Nefesh HaChaim explains the following. The Gemara in Nidda tells us that a malach teaches every single person in utero kol ha-Torah kula. And then when the child is about to be born, bo malach v'sot shoy al-piv, it sort of hits the child on its mouth. Legend has it that this little indentation over there, is that? I don't know. But Bob Malach v'sot tra piv, and then he forgets it all. What is the purpose of that? The purpose is to charge that child with its tafkid in life. Yes, to teach it kol ha-Torah kula, but it means what its mission is in life, what its destiny is, what it's meant to do. And amazingly, says the Nefesh HaChaim, that many, many years later, 120 years later, as the Neshama takes leave of the guf, who actually reappears? The malach that came 120 years earlier and taught that child kol ha-Torah kula and charged that child with its mission in life, that malach comes and says, time is up. And that is what the Gemara in Yuma is referring to. Kol neshama b'shasha yetzah min aguf. What's the kol? The kol is this. That all of a sudden the person sees again that malach. And he remembers what his charge was. And unfortunately, sometimes there's a big gap between what was expected and what was achieved. the gap between the potential and the actualized potential. And that chasm creates a tremendous kol. Sometimes there isn't a gap. Yeah, the Zohar famously says, with Avraham, when Avraham Avinu passed his final nisoin of the Akedah, the voice comes out and says, Avraham, Avraham, and it says it twice, don't shecht Yitzchak. Why twice? So the Zohar says that at that point, Avraham milatato equals Avraham mila'el, that the potential equals the action. In other words, Avraham Avinu had fulfilled his potential at that point. That's why the double Avraham. Avraham downstairs equates to Avraham upstairs. But people who don't achieve that, the kol lets out a scream. Because he sees suddenly there's this gap. Says Rabbi Lev, a beautiful pshat. What's going on in this medrash, all the midrashim surrounding Yaakov Avinu's death, is that the children, the shvatim, are the embodiment of Klal Yisrael. And we know that there are two times when Moshiach could come. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Sadiches, it's the bottom box on the first page, Omer of Alexandria, Rishub and Levi Romi Ksit. He brought a steer in Psukim. On one hand, the Pasuk says that Moshiach will come Be'ito, Uksiv Achishena. He will come at an earlier time. He'll hasten it. So what's Pshat? Is it Be'ito? Is it Achishena? Says the Gemara, Zochu Achishena, Lo Yizochu Be'ito. If we merit it, then Moshiach will come at the earlier time before this sort of last stopgap. Which, by the way, explains lots of things. It explains that when you go through Novi, you see that the description of the unfolding of history is sometimes reported a bit differently. So, for example, in the seventh parak of Daniel, you look at the reports of the Geula, and it says that it's described in sort of very glowing terms. But yet, when Zechariah describes the Geula, it's slightly less glowing. It's more mundane. How do you reconcile that? So perhaps the pshat is that Daniel is referring to Achishena. If we deserve it, if we zeicher to Achishena, to hasten the Geula, then indeed it will be glowing. But if we don't achieve it, and it happens because this is the last stop gap date, so then it will just be mundane. That also perhaps explains why some occurs suggest that the third Beis HaMikdash will be built by us. But other sources say it will come down ready-made from Shemayim. So how do you reconcile that? So again, perhaps one is Be'itza, one is Achishena, maybe. Either way, Yaakov Avinu realized that he looked at his children and he says, you know what, I could be Megala the Kates. I could tell them when Moshiach is going to come. But I've got a much better idea. I can try and tell each of those children who they are, what their potential is, and if they fulfill their potential, then together, that they will merit Achishena. They will merit Moshiach coming sooner. So that's exactly what he did. He told Reuven that this is your challenge in life, this is your difficulty, this is your weakness, but this is your potential, this is your mission in life. And so too with Shimon and Levi. When he compared the other Shvatim to animals, he was telling them what their potential is. And that is indeed Vayavorech Yisro. The greatest bracha a father can give a child, the greatest bracha a Rebbe can tell his Talmud, is what their potential is. Imagine you take your son or you take him to a careers fair. And sitting around the room, there are lots of different representatives of different professions. And they go and they see this one, the doctor, and the lawyer, and the dentist, and the teacher. And then, you see that your son is gravitating towards the table where the chazan is sitting. And this is the how to become a chazan. And you know that your son can't hold a tune. He can't sing. Wouldn't it be a kindness to be armed around him and say, listen, my dear son, you've got many talents, but singing is not one of them. That's not your tafkid in life. Your mission is not to become a chazan. The biggest bracha a father can give a child is to tell him exactly that. That answers our four questions. The first question was, did Yaakov Avinu really bench his children? The answer is absolutely. Vayavorech Yisrael, that's the greatest bracha ever. What's pshat in the medrash? Because there's no ches and tes, similarly there's no kuf and tzadi. Pshat is, because there is no ches and tes, there's no chet, there's no deficiency in the shvatim, they don't need the kates. They don't need to wait until the last stop date when Moshiach is going to come. They can be zoichet achishena. That's what it means. Because there is no chet, there is no case. They don't have to wait for the last date. And that explains also the final medrash, the analogy, the mashal of the king. The idea is that the medrash seems to imply that the case was not forgotten. You're right. It was not forgotten by Yaakov Avinu. He knew exactly when the case was going to be. But rather, he decided there's a difference and there's a better alternative. Let them fulfill their potential, and then Moshiach will come in a speedier fashion. And therefore, that is the last question as well. How do Yaakov's brachas serve as an exhortation to an honor and obey the king? The answer is because that's exactly the point. When a person is fulfills his potential, that is the greatest kavod shamayim. That is the greatest way to be mekadesh shem shamayim. Now, that's true as an individual, but it's true collectively as well. The Chofetz Chaim used to say that we're compared, if you like, to an army. Klal Yisrael is like an army. And just like an army has different divisions, there's the cavalry, the infantry, there's the intelligence, there's the air force, there's the navy. Well, so too, Klal Yisrael, people have different tafkid and different roles. There's no cookie cutter. Everyone can't just be exactly the same. Klal Yisrael is an embodiment of different talents, abilities, and together that can create a symphony of Kiddush Hashem, which will be zochet achishena. The Beis Halevi tells there's a remarkable story that it was the night of Kol Nidre. That's, by the way, today 2 months. Yes, last night 2 months is, today 2 months is Yom Kippur. Food for thought. And last night, two months ago last night, is Kol Nidre. So the Beis Halevi, after davening on Kol Nidre, many shuls, many people stay behind, they say Tehillim. He noticed the Gvir in town was saying, standing by a stand after they finished Kol Nidre, and he stood up and he started saying Tehillim. And he was carrying on and on. The Beis Halevi went over to him and said, "You're a Ganav." "What, I'm a Ganav?" "Saying Tehillim after Kol Nidre." He said, "You should not be here." He said, "Your job today, you're the Gvir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has blessed you with wealth. Your job was to go around town and to, from an early start, and to make sure that every single fellow in town, every home, had what to eat every Yom Kippur. Your job is not to be a Tehillim Zogger after Kol Nidre. You should be so exhausted by running around and doing your chesed and your stocker today that you shouldn't have the strength to stand and say Tehillim tonight. You're not using your talents, you're a ganav." I don't think it would work nowadays in many shuls, but the principle that is there, the principle is true. The story, my left tells the story of a father who's also has had a busy day, and he wants to sit on the settee and just close his eyes for half an hour. The trouble is, his wife is out and he's in charge of looking after the kids. So he's got to keep them busy, and the kids are busy, and he can't sit down quietly for half an hour. So he comes up with a good plan. He sees that he's got a magazine, and on the magazine there's like a picture of an atlas of the world. So he rips it out, cuts it into lots of pieces, puts it on the dining room table, and says, "Here you go, kids, make a puzzle. Put it together, a nice atlas of the world." You know, the father is confident that he's got at least half an hour to sit on the settee and close his eyes. So he goes to the settee, sits down. A few minutes later, the kids come over and say, "Daddy, we've done it." "What? So quickly?" What they did was, on the other side of that paper, that magazine, there was a picture of a face. Now, to do a puzzle of a face is much easier than an atlas. And you see the contours of the face, the nose, the eyes, the mouth. They did it in 2 seconds. They put some sellotape there, they turned it over, and they've got their atlas. The point is this, that if each individual does his bit and fulfills his own potential, creates his own face, the world will take care of itself. That's the nimshal. That's really what's going on over here. That's what Yaakov Avinu means. That's what he was saying. We'll be zoichet achishen if everyone does their own bit. Now, that perhaps explains other things. That idea of a person fulfilling his potential is key. That's really what it's all about. And indeed, that's pshat in the Gemara in Brachos. It's a very beautiful idea I once heard from the name of Shimon Schwab. Look at the top page of the second side, the top box. The Gemara in Brachos says that when the Rabbonim would take leave of each other, they gave each other a special bracha. What was the bracha? Olomecho tireh b'chayecho. What does that mean? You should see your world in your lifetime. Rav Shimon Shuav says it means that the word olam comes from the word he'elam, ne'elam, something which is hidden, something which is hidden, which is not, you can't see it. It's referring to potential. Olam mecha tira bechayecho means that you should be zocher to see and fulfill your potential in your lifetime. Olam is the hidden part of you, the potential. Olam mecha tira bechayecho. Now, that also explains, if that's really what life is all about, fulfilling your potential, that also explains some difficulties. You know, please God, this Shabbos will lay in the Aseres HaDibros. It's an interesting exercise. You sit down, if you were to write your own Aseres HaDibros, what would you put in the top 10? What would get there? No doubt, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I understand. Lo Yiyah Lecha, I understand. Shabbos, I understand. Kabeh Disavicha Vesemecha, certainly parents put it in there. Lo Sirtzach, Lo Sinaf, Lo Signov, that's basic, you know, that's the fabric of society. Would anyone put in Lo Sachmoid? Is that so pivotal? Why is Lo Sachmoid in the Aseres HaDibros? Furthermore, Chazal said that, I don't know, I haven't got a makar for this, but I've heard it quoted, that each of the Aseres HaDibros corresponds to each of the Aseres Mei Tshuva. So Le Moshe, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the first one, corresponds to Rosh Hashanah. Now that's quite obvious. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Emuna, very good. Rosh Hashanah, that's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Even, I saw recently, there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that in the times of the Beis Hashmonaim, because the Yevonim made a decree not to learn Torah, not to say the Shem Hashem, the Beis Hashmonaim decided they're going to put that the Shem Hashem has to appear in every shtar. It's going on Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches on the Beis. The Chachomim heard about this, they said, this is wrong. Because as soon as the guy pays back his debt, the shtar will be mutl ba'ashpa. There's going to be a problem of Shemus. They're going to write the Shem Hashem in the shtar, you're going to have problems of Shemus. So the Chachomim overturned that decree, and they made a certain Yom Tov. And it's listed in Megillas Tanis, as indeed many other Yom Tovim were there. And the Gemara concludes that the only ones we have left from Megillas Tanis is Chanukah and Purim. But there were many others. And one of them was this celebration that they're not going to write the Shem Hashem in the Shtar. Now, what day did they pick to celebrate this overturning of the enactment? Gimel Tishri. Soim Gedalia. Why Soim Gedalia? So the Chassan Sofer is a grandson of the Chassan Sofer. He was the progenitor of the Mattersdorfer dynasty, the Mattersdorfer Rav, Ehrenfeld, I think. He says the following pshat. Yeah. Gimel Tishri corresponds to Loisissa in the Aseres HaDibros. Loisissa means don't take Hashem's name in vain. Therefore, if you're going to pick a day to celebrate the fact that we're going to protect the Shem Hashem, we're going to choose Gimel Tishri. Fine. Working it through, Lo Sachmoid falls out Yom Kippur. That the holiest day, Lo Sachmoid, just like this. You know, today, 2 months, we'll stand Shin Shon Yom Kippur, and in a few hours' time, 2 months, it'll be Ne'ilim. Now, there's an interesting phenomenon, I don't know if you've noticed this before. You know, you go through, you've had the Elul, you've had the Aseres Mei Tshuva, you're there on Yom Kippur in Shul. If ever there was a time to apologize, to say vidui, Ne'ilah's your time. And you look in the Shemoneh Esrei of Ne'ilah, there's no Achetz. You check your machzor again. Yeah, is it faulty? No, it's not faulty. Where are the Achetz in Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur? Shraga Feivel Mendelovitz famously says this. We do have a Achetz. We have the biggest al-chait. The post that we've got, the tefillah we've got, is ato hivdalto. That's instead of the al-chait. Ato hivdalto enesh mirosh. And we go on and we say, lemanechdal me'oshek yodeinu. What does that mean? We've stolen? What have we stolen? It says in Shraga Feivel that we've stolen, we've committed the biggest crime. That we are misusing our talents that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us. We're not utilizing the potential which Hashem gave, all the opportunities which the Ribono Shel Olam gave us. That's what we're referring to. L'manechdal me'oshek yodeinu. And that's exactly what Lo Sachmoid is all about. A person who is jealous of another person, ultimately, he's denying what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from him. That's the problem. A person doesn't utilize his own talents, he's denying his own mission in life. his own unique, specific way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Lo Sachmud makes sense to Aseret HaDibros. That's why Lo Sachmud corresponds to Yom Kippur. That's why we say, we don't say the Al-Chaitz, we get to the real problem. The real problem is, Leman Nechta on the Oshek Yodeinu. That's why, by the way, the Gemara in Shabbos says an amazing thing. Shlomo HaMelech writes, V'rekev atzomois kino. Which the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kufin Beis on Beis, Kol mi sheyesh lo kino beliboy. Anyone who's consumed with jealousy, atzmoisov markivin, his bones will rot. What's the middah keneged middah? Jealousy, atzomos markivin? Pshat's it like this. The word atzomos, bones, comes from the word atzmius. Atzmius means your own personality. You know, even in English, sometimes you hear the phrase, you know, how do you know? I feel it in my bones. What does that mean? I feel it really deep down. The atzomos refers to that smius. If a person is jealous, you're denying your own individuality. You're denying your unique personality, your own tafkit. So that's why a person is jealous, atzomos markivim. The Gemara says, the Arachayim, sorry, that in Parshas Nosoi, Naftali, the Pasuk says, Livnei Naftali Achira ben Einon. He has a son, Achira ben Einon. You know, you read through the names in the Torah, and you stop for a second, what? Achira? My brother is bad? You know, there are lots of books about how to avoid sibling rivalry. No one's going to suggest that you call your son Achira. Well, it's not going to help. What's Pshat in that name? Says the Arachayim, Naftali is the embodiment of someone who is the antithesis of Lo Sachmud. He is Seva Rotzoi. He is always happy with his lot. That is Naftali's personality. He lived that so much that he imbued that in his children. He called his son Achira. I.e., what you is good for you is not necessarily good for your brother. In fact, what your brother has is bad for you because it's good for him. That means it's bad for you. So a person who has Seva Rotzoi, who has that understanding, will call his son Achira because each child has got their own destiny, their own tafkid. What have we seen? Just to summarize before I make a final point. We've seen, like I said at the beginning, Tisha B'Av is a very difficult day. And that fellow who approached me, no doubt, is a happy fellow today. But what can we take out of Tisha B'Av? Perhaps we can take out this very message. You know, we talk about the Golos, we talk about the difficulties of Jewish history, the kinnus. It's very hard to connect. Someone told me yesterday, he remembers as a boy growing up in Gateshead, he davened Tisha B'Av morning in the Gateshead Kollel. It's going back 20, 30 years. And he says he was the only one there with the art scroll kinnus. Yeah, everyone else in the Kollel, they didn't need the art scroll kinnus. And he said he was a teenage boy, and teenage boys to connect to Tisha B'Av is very, very hard. And it was before the days of explanatory kinnus and speakers and programs, etc., etc. And Eva, I don't think they've got that in Gateshead Kollel today anyway. And he was sitting there, Tisha B'Av morning, and bored, going through the kinnus. The only one he could a bit connect to in his machsa, in his kinnus, sorry, there was the one for the Holocaust, Shimon Schwab and the Bob of Rebbe, so that he felt a little bit maybe, but otherwise, but then he looked around and he sees the giants, Rebbe Voron Ehrentreu, and Lahav Mechaim Lechaim, Rebbe Mordechai Miller, etc., etc., men of that caliber, and he saw they were using their regular kinnas, and he saw the tears were coming down. So others can connect, but for a lot of us it's very difficult to connect. But perhaps this is a way to connect. What did Yaakov Inu tell his children? He told his children, I'm not going to tell you what the Kates is. I'm going to tell you something more important. I'm going to tell you who you are. I'm going to tell you what your potential is. That's the greatest bracha. That's my baruch Hashem. And through that, that's what it means in the Medrash. There's no chait, there's no kates. Because you're perfect, because if you fulfill your potential, there's no kates. You don't need to wait to the end of time, whenever that will be. That's pshat the Yaakov in Medrash, which says the Yaakov Inu implies that the kates was not forgotten. Yes, it wasn't forgotten. I know what the kates is, but I'm not going to tell you. There's a better way of achieving that. That's pshat in all these midrashim. The biggest impediment to that, perhaps, is Lo Sachmud. that a person realizes that each one of us has given exactly what we need to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is how we zoch tachishena. And collectively, like the puzzle, we do it individually, then collectively, then we zoch tachishena. That, I think, is a good final thought as we approach the holiday season. Really, what it means, what it all boils down to, is Kiddush Hashem. A person fulfills his own potential, that is being Mekadoshim Shemayim. We do it collectively, that's a symphony of one massive Kiddush Hashem. That is, I think, what we refer to when we say the Davin, Shabbos Mincha, we say Ato Echot. If you look at the Nusach of Ato Echot, I think it refers to our holiday season. What's the Nusach? It's the bottom box on the page. Menuchas Ahava Nadav. We refer to different types of menuchas. People go on holiday for a whole bunch of different reasons. One reason could be Menuchas Ahava Nadav. They want to spend time with family, with close family members, to affirm the bond they have with their spouse, with their children. They also want to go Menuchas Emes Ve'emuna. It's a time to engage more in a deeper, more spiritual way with our tefillahs and our learning, to read things and to learn things which perhaps we don't always get the chance during the course of the year. And then you want to go maybe Menuchas Shalom, Shalva V'Hashket V'Vetach. You want to just relax, to chill out. All fine. All of these Menuchas are fine, so long as Al Menuchosom Yagdishu Eshelecho. So long as all of those Menuchas generate a Kiddush Hashem. That's what it means. When the Chofetz Chaim says, when the Pasuk says, Ki Amokam Ashata Oimed Admas Kodeshu, that means that you can generate a Kiddush Hashem wherever you happen to be. The place where you currently reside on, Admas Kodesh. That's what it means. So, Mitzvah Hashem, with those thoughts, we should be Zoche to the Gula, Achishena, Bimheir, Yomelu.